I remember when they put one into Limeridge in Hamilton. I was living not too far from it at the time, and you know the buzz, and you'd go through and you saw this big new store, and it was it had more lights, it had a little bit more glamour than everything else all the other stores did at that time. You're like, wow, there's a Disney store in Limeridge, man, holy smokes. Big deal. They're closing all of them, essentially all of them. I think there's like one or two they might be keeping open. The Disney stores are shuttering up and saying, yeah, good night and check you later sort of thing. That's surprising to me. It's Disney, man. Disney doesn't. Why do you need to close anything? You got how much money in your back pocket, and you're going to close a giant walking billboard? Well, it doesn't walk, but everybody walks past you as a billboard. That's what kind of surprises me about this whole thing. But what is this saying? Like, is this a surprise? Is this? I imagine not, because we're expecting a changing retail world. But Bruce Winder, retail analyst, author of Retail Before, During, and After COVID-19, joining us on the program here this afternoon. Bruce, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty good.
No worries. Hey, Disney, is this at all surprising? Like, I know we're having so many conversations about online shopping and a change in the retail market. I expect there to be some casualties or some shifts in the retail world. I'm just shocked that it's Disney of all things that are saying, hey, we're going to close up these things, because I don't know. Just to me, it's more publicity for a business that's already got money all over the place.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, if you're kind of close to the industry like myself, it's probably not a big surprise, because there's a few things going on right now. I mean, if you're Disney, you're a marquee brand, that's for sure, right? You know, you've got Disney Plus, that new streaming service, and, you know, you're iconic, right? But your retail stores, many of them didn't really match the brand. To your point early in your intro, you know, they were great, you know, maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but they kind of lost their luster a little bit. They became regular. And if you look at what's happened with e-commerce now, and then you realize that Disney has a pretty big presence in other stores. You know, if you go to other places like Amazon or Walmart, or if you're across the ditch into Target in the U.S., you know, they've got a pretty big presence in a lot of stores within stores. You know, I think it's an opportunity for them to sort of step back, reimagine how they want to transact with their customer from a merchandise standpoint. And probably, you know, build some very powerful flagship stores. But really the key here is augmenting those flagship stores with e-commerce, really integrating e-commerce with the store so it's seamless. Then you've got Disney Plus, and I personally feel that down the road they're going to probably try to find a way to monetize the 90 million plus people who jumped on the Disney Plus subscription over the pandemic and try to sell them directly to.
Which, in a couple of those points, I never thought of, you know, the fact that, like I mentioned, when they opened, they were flashy, and now they don't feel as flashy because everybody else is kind of up their game around them. That makes logical sense. To me, I've always seen Disney, especially in the last, I don't know, decade probably, even more than that, even before when they were controlling their VHSs, when they would come out and when they wouldn't come out. Your point of them, you know, being in the Targets of the world or the Walmarts of the world and everything else, I've always felt like they were always hyper aware of trying to control their brand and wanting to be the mainstay of it. That's why I think it surprises me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's a pretty big move, right? That's why it's making so much news today and over the last little while when it's released. I just think that they don't have their best foot forward out there from a retail standpoint. Like, if you look at everything else about that brand, it's kind of best in class, but the retail footprint wasn't really best in class in most cases. So I think it's time to almost, like, start again, like reimagine it, start from scratch, build it really cool so that it really stands out like the rest of their brand equity and their brand touch points. And then try to do something with e-commerce, because they sort of haven't really fully utilized how e-commerce plays in with the physical side. So I think it's time that they kind of reimagine the whole thing and start from scratch almost.
I'll say this, I find their e-commerce sucks for Canada, because it's all coming from the States and way too much for shipping and everything else for a brand like that that is that big. I've always felt that their stuff was, for whatever reason, lacking on that front.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's been one of the big things, is that they haven't really had an e-commerce presence in Canada. You had to buy it from the U.S. And that's sort of, that's prehistoric. Like, that's, you know, 1990. They need to get in the game here and develop something that, you know, really makes it easy for the consumer to buy their products, really makes it simple, frictionless, as they call it, but also increase the engagement with events and more experiential retail. I mean, they have such great brands. And if you go down to their parks in the U.S., take some of that and put it in the store. You know, and I think that's the opportunity here.
Maybe turning it into one bigger regional type of store. Is that where you're getting that kind of idea?
Yeah, that's what brands are starting to do now. They're saying, look, we don't need a store in every corner. Let's have one store per every major city. But boy, when we go big and we make it super experiential. And that's probably why they've left, you know, one of the stores in the Eaton Centre in Toronto. And there's one up in Vaughan Mills and I think Scarborough as well. So they're probably picking their poison here and saying, okay, whatever we have left, let's go big now and try to make a statement.
Do you think that is this decision, this move by Disney, kind of part of the maybe ever-changing or now changing retail landscape, or is this something kind of off to the side of what's going to go on for everybody else?
Well, this is pretty much a major trend, is really the right sizing. So, you know, e-commerce has become a significant channel now. It was always a little bit of a niche channel in Canada. It's become a significant channel. So whether you're a small company, big company, medium company, everyone has woken up to realize e-commerce is here to stay and it's growing in importance because it's so convenient, right, for everyone. So a lot of big brands and small brands are right-sizing their footprint. And the other thing they're doing is they're learning how to integrate their e-commerce with their brick and mortar. If you're a small company, you know, you might jump on and create a website for the first time through like a Shopify and then jump on an Amazon marketplace to sell your products around the world. But you're doing that knowing that you have a physical footprint to leverage. So it always works best when you have both physical footprint and e-commerce integration with it. But you don't maybe need as many stores to do that.
Does that maybe put some pressure, I think, of, you know, the bigger malls, I guess, of the world and, of honestly, just of the province? Like, every community's got some pretty big indoor malls. And I feel like that's where those, you know, those businesses are. They're in each and every one of them across the board. It feels like there could be lots of vacancies up for grabs.
There is going to be some vacancies as we transition. So malls are going to change. The big premium malls, you know, the ones with the Gucci's and all the luxury brands, they're going to do fine. They're going to get bigger. The mid-tier malls, sort of like maybe like a Penn Center or something like that, you know, they're going to have to transition, or maybe like the I forget the name of the mall in St. Catharines. There's another mall there. It's sort
Fairview.
Of a medium mall, Fairview Mall. Yeah. They're the ones who are going to probably transform the most and become more service-oriented, you know, gyms, doctor office, dentist offices. And then you'll probably also see some folks who primarily sell online. They call them digitally native brands. They're going to probably add a location. So you're going to see the malls change over a lot. You're losing a lot of the department store anchorage that you had before. And you're seeing new brands pop up. You're seeing local brands pop up. But definitely it's sort of changing of the guard, if you will, for those middle tier malls. And then the really small malls that peaked in the 60s and 70s, a lot of them are being torn down and built into condominiums and things like that.
Yeah, they absolutely are. It's all some big changes as we continue to go through this. And it's honestly, I think we all feel like there's changes. I just don't know what the time frame is going to be like. That's what I'm really curious of when we come through all of this and everything, all the dust settles. Like, have you got an idea where you think how long it'll be before the dust settles and we see what this new reality totally looks like?
I think it's going to take a few years to shake out because there's some retailers who are still going to go bankrupt. There's going to be a ton of new businesses that start after the pandemic. That's the other thing. You're going to see all kinds of new businesses pop up. So I think you're going to see a transition over the next, say, 2 to 3 years before you start to see somewhat of a new normal here.
The new normal, yeah. We're all getting ready for those, Bruce. I appreciate the chat today. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt. Take care.
Take care. There is Bruce Winder, retail analyst, author of a book called The Retail Before, During, and After COVID-19.